Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, Our Lady of Fatima said, many marriages are not good. They do not please our Lord and are not of God. In many cases, couples do not know what true love is, or even have any idea of what it could be. They're fooled by the phony substitutes of the world, infatuation, lust or sensual desire, glamour, etc. When this imitation love wears off, little remains to keep them together, and most of them seek a divorce. Many of the reasons people give for seeking a divorce would be quite amusing if it were not so tragic. There was one case of a man who had been married only 4 weeks, who actually sought a divorce by claiming that his glasses were out of focus when he proposed. In another case, a woman charged that her husband wore earplugs whenever her mother visited them. Another woman actually won a divorce settlement based on the charge that her husband always complained about her cooking. Whatever the reasons for divorce, it's generally true, barring purposely marrying for money or convenience, that at the time of the marriage ceremony, whether the eyeglasses were in focus or not, the man and the woman actually thought that they loved each other. One cannot help but ask why so many marriages for love end in discord and divorce. We can most likely say it's because many men and women do not know what true love really is. They get their information on the subject from the world as portrayed in movies, television, novels, and love songs. Actually, it should be noted here that the modern worldly view of love and romance now portrayed is in reality fornication or adultery. These sinful acts are shown as based on emotion, and the feeling of the moment are portrayed as having no moral implications at all. Further, the partners engaged in them have usually just met or have known each other for only a short time. When marriage does become the topic in a movie, it usually follows this typical scenario. When the eyes of a young man and a young woman meet for the first time, they immediately know that they are meant for each other. They quickly fall in love, although no more than 50 words pass between them, and they know nothing about each other's background, personality, or peculiarities. The couple is convinced that love conquers all and that everything will work out favorably. Later in the movie, there are a few disagreements, mostly misunderstandings, for which neither is responsible. This is the boy loses girl stage. But no matter how he differs from her in his basic nature, interest, or ambitions, he wins her before the conclusion of the movie. One is then left with the impression that they will live happily ever after. Sociologists and psychologists who have studied the whole question of marriage and divorce reject the notion that a man and woman can just fall in love. If they ever achieve true love, it's only because they've worked for it. In order to know what true love is, it's important to know what love is not. First, love is not the result of fate, even though the idea fits in with daydreams and creates a great deal of excitement. My dearly beloved in Christ, some people foolishly believe that there is just one Mr. or Miss Perfect for them, the only person in the world who can make them happy. Their first mistake is that of expecting another person to be responsible for making them happy for the rest of their lives. Happiness has to come from within the person, her or himself. Further, these people believe that this mysterious, marvelous person will come along and make them feel different. Feelings and emotions often deceive us and are always changeable. People who latch on to the first person who makes them feel good often do not want to let that person go, and subsequently will close their eyes to any defects which may surface in the meantime. Or, as is often the case, they will foolishly expect that they can, once married, change them. The possibility of a lifetime of regret does not even enter their picture. Secondly, love is not purely physical attraction. Like all things, this may be a departure point, but it too will pass. There's a case in which a young woman by the name of Susan was the most beautiful girl in her class. Although many young men kept asking her for dates, Tom was the most persistent because he convinced himself that she would be the perfect wife. On their dates, he never bothered to find out whether Susan had any worthwhile qualities. She was almost a supermodel, and that was enough for him. They married. The passion and the physical attraction wore off, as it always does. Tom found himself with a wife who didn't know how to maintain a home, who had always been so popular that she never needed to make sacrifices to get along with people, and who expected to be waited on hand and foot every hour of the day. This shows how sex appeal alone won't make a marriage happy. Consider the marriage records of some of the most beautiful women on screen in the movies and on television. Many have had three or four or more husbands, and yet still are not happy. Third, love is not glamour. Yet another case, a young man by the name of Ted exerted as much appeal with girls as Susan had with the boys. Ted's parents were very wealthy, and he was an only child. His father gave Ted a new convertible for his high school graduation. Since Ted had easy access to money, he always took his dates to the most exciting places. Many girls believed that whoever married him would get the prize catch in town. Agnes dated Ted because she was convinced that he loved her. Actually, she was dazzled by the vision of a luxurious home, a fine car, and everything else that money can buy. She didn't realize she was really marrying him for his money. Sadly, Agnes did not find happiness in her marriage. As she might have guessed, but had ignored, the fact that Ted was a spoiled brat who was used to getting his own way in everything, he wouldn't even make minor sacrifices to please her. Father Kelly writes that wealth is not necessarily the only glamorous attraction for marriage. To some, marriage itself may seem glamorous. Mothers sometimes make marriage seem more glamorous than it is, especially if they're eager to marry off their daughters. They don't help their children realize that marriage has weighty responsibilities as well as consolations, and that you've got to accept both if you want to be happy. Not only have girls and women been told repeatedly in song, story, and drama that love is moonlight, roses, and ecstasy, but they have, from a very young age, repeatedly heard and seen movies of the common fairy tales of Snow White, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, etc. Filled with such fantasy, young girls await the day that their Prince Charming will come and carry them off to be married and live ever happily ever after in a great castle, or at least in a nice home. They see the prospective young man as a prince without flaw, and fail to realize that he, like themselves, is a human being with faults and failures. My dearly beloved in Christ, lastly, true love is not an escape. Do not expect marriage to take you from a bad or uncomfortable situation to one of freedom and happiness. The grass is not always greener. One person who is not really happy with their life and contemplating an okay little-known spouse said, "Well, it can't be any worse." That is an understatement, for it most certainly can. It can be the case of out of the frying pan and into the fire. One may tragically find that the last state is far worse than the first. Using marriage in an escape hatch is more widespread than most people imagine. One man gambles his salary away almost every week and hates himself for doing it. Another drinks too much, abuses drugs, or is addicted to pornography, and is sure that marriage will straighten him out. A third can't hold a job and decides he needs something to make him buckle down, like a wife and children to support. Of course, the man who thinks he loves a woman just because she'll help him conquer his defects is not only putting an entirely false interpretation on love, but is selfishly putting himself and his needs first at the expense of the other. He's also building himself up for a terrible letdown. As I've said before, happiness and change have to come from within a person. My dearly beloved in Christ, the three forms of counterfeit love just described, the false love of sensual pleasure or lust, the appeal of glamour, and the promise of escape, are probably responsible for many marriages that hit the rocks. This is because none of them are based on the idea of true love. Monsignor Kelly explains that marriage is much bigger than a couple's love for each other. Marriage is a sacred work two people have to do for God. Love helps, makes it easier to do, but the job demands doing, even if the ardor has cooled. Marriage has a meaning far greater than what is considered as love. From the altar rail, the couple embarks upon a lifelong mission that applies more than either of them is able to see or immediately understand. That is why it's important to choose a religious, congenial, and competent spouse over the emotionally enamored one, if such a choice has to be made. That is why marriage remains even when the passion has waned or love is no longer mutual. My dearly beloved Christ, in closing, marriage does not mean the end of all sadness, suffering, trial, or contradictions. All of these are part of one's life, no matter what the vocation. For this reason, one should not look upon marriage as the happily ever after situation, for our life of trial still remains. Instead, look for one who will walk the distance with you, no matter what. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.